Thanks for tuning in. First, a word from our supporters.
The Coffee Podcast is sponsored by KitchenAid, whose coffee collection is changing the way coffee is brewed at home.
KitchenAid worked with baristas and coffee experts to engineer a new line of coffee products.
The KitchenAid Burr Grinder allows you to extract the best flavor from your coffee beans by precisely controlling the grind level.
The KitchenAid Precision Press Coffee Maker enhances the classic French press brewing method with an integrated scale and timer to precisely brew a bold, full-bodied cup of coffee. Exceptional coffee made simple with KitchenAid.
At Bold Bean Coffee Roasters, we know that quality starts at the source and ends in your cup. This is why we focus on directly sourcing and roasting coffees with dynamic character and brilliant clarity and sweetness. Order now at boldbeancoffee.com and use promo code COFFEEPODCAST for free shipping on all orders through September.
You're listening to The Coffee Podcast, where our focus is people and our language is coffee. Episode 98, Avance, an interview with Kim Elena Ionescu. Welcome back to another episode of The Coffee Podcast. It's good to have you listening once again. Don't forget that we have the giveaway for Department of Brewology, the Let Coffee Bloom hat, still on till the end of August. The winner will be announced in the first episode of September. We have a very special guest here on the show today, somebody we haven't talked to on the show for almost a year now. In fact, she was our first interviewee on the Coffee Podcast, so we're happy to have her back. Here to talk about Avance, the sustainability conference here around the corner, put on by the SCA, is our guest, Kim Elena Ionescu, the Chief Sustainability Officer for SCA. Hey, Kim, how you doing?
Hey, Jesse, I'm well. Thanks for asking. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. So it's been a while since we had you on the show, and we're thankful that you could join us again. You were in episode 38 talking about sustainability. Not necessarily a surprise. That's sort of your shtick. So have you seen any major strides in sustainability since you were last on the show?
Well, you know, one of the things that I will say about this field is that I feel like it's always changing. That's one of the things that I've come to appreciate, although it's also something that can be intimidating about sustainability, is this this really dynamic nature of it. So I think we're constantly questioning even things that a couple of years ago we held to be truth. And so the ground is shifting, and there are always new developments, and trying to figure out, you know, what to question and what to hold on to can be tricky. But I will say that one thing that I see as a big step for sustainability in coffee and specialty coffee is the World Coffee Producer Forum, where I saw you just about a month or so ago,
right. Because
it was an event that really, I think, shifted the dynamic or demonstrated that sustainability isn't just a consuming country desire or area of expertise or concern, that this is something, an agenda that is, you know, firmly within the producer and producing country purview and interest and sphere of influence, and where there are a lot of ideas being generated.
Yeah, that forum was, I think for me as well, sort of a really eye-opening experience from the perspective of thinking about the producer and their role in sustainability. And mm-hmm. So I mean, I came out of that, the forum, really sort of just brain spinning, you know, kicking on all cylinders, sort of trying to figure out what are the next steps. You know, like I get that we came out of the forum with kind of a document of, hey, these are going to be the steps. But even for me, like personally, how am I going to continue to talk about this on the podcast? And obviously you're part of that, being here with us on this episode. So I'm excited to dive into what the SCA is doing. But first, I have a question for you regarding the SCA, and it's pretty straightforward. It's, what is the SCA's role in the conversation on sustainability?
Oh gosh, you say that it's a straightforward question.
Well, it's easy for me to ask.
Yeah, well, you know, it's easy for you to ask, you're right. And it would probably be easy for me to answer if I was willing to give a simple answer or to render sustainability down to one or two actions. You know, I see these lists all the time of like the five things that you can do to save the world, you know, or the one big thing that you can do to reduce your environmental impact. And I love those lists, but I also feel like I could never make one of those lists because I'm always trying to explore those nuances and considering the different sides of things. So when it comes to the role of the SCA in sustainability, you know, since I talked to you last, we have established the Sustainability Center as one of our centers. This came about with Unification, where we have research and education and events and sustainability. And sustainability is in that position because it is a value that is shared across the membership. You know, we know this from membership surveys as well as just from the belief in this as, you know, as humans. But exactly what that role is something that we are actually spending this year trying to determine, to define what it is that the Sustainability Center of the SCA should be doing, and doing that through those member surveys that we have done in past years, and also a sustainability survey that we conducted at the beginning of 2017. And then combining that with this event that we're doing in about a month and a half in Guatemala, Avance, to get a different group of stakeholders giving input into the SCA strategy. And then our volunteer leadership, our advisory council, I have an advisory council to the Sustainability Center, and using all of these different layers and lenses to hone in on the answer to that question of yours, which is, what is the SCA's role? You know, not just the specific actions we should take, like, oh, we should write papers and we should award projects and organizations, and we should deliver lectures at our events, because we do all of those things. You know, there are right. a whole catalog of activities that we do, but what the role is, you know, and what we want to be working toward for the next few years is something that that we're just conscious of wanting to really do a deep dive into that stakeholder input in order to come up with that strategy for this new center.
So the center itself, is it in a building? Is it a group of people? What does that look like?
I know it's always, it feels so official, doesn't it?
It does. Sounds center. Yeah.
No, you know, we have offices are our official European and North American headquarters in Chelmsford in the UK outside of London, and okay. in Santa Ana outside of, in the Orange County area of Southern California. And then the rest of us, even us center, you know, chiefs, are scattered around. So the Sustainability Center is not a physical building. I mean, I do have a lovely little office here in North Carolina that I share with one of my colleague, Cindy Levickson, who works in the events center, but we're the North Carolina, you know, the East Coast outpost, I think we like to call ourselves, but it's not an official, that's, our office is not the Sustainability Center. You know, the Sustainability Center is staff and this volunteer advisory council really comprising the core of it. And then just sort of extending outward from there into those activities that I mentioned before that we undertake.
Got you. So it's not necessarily centralized. It's not, you know, a place where everybody is at all at once, but it's sort of like a group of people who are working towards the things you talked about earlier.
Exactly.
Okay. Exactly. So I know the SCA kind of has a certain perspective on the industry. I mean, you know, it's what establishes the SCA separate from other organizations in coffee, right? So what sort of vision or what sort of ideas does the SCA have that distinguish it from other coffee, maybe associations or groups that are also trying to tackle sustainability? What kind of perspective is the SCA bringing?
Yeah, I think there are a couple of factors that make the SCA's position unique. And one of those is not being bounded by geography, which not all coffee associations are, but many of them are. You know, many of the associations, including like the FNC that put on the World Coffee Producer Forum is based in a particular place and represents constituents based on that, based on their geography. Right. You know, the National Coffee Association here in the United States has that, has a very long history, but the same sort of geographic unity. And the Specialty Coffee Association is not that way. Nor is it a group, an association defined by a role, like a specific point in the coffee value chain. Although in the United States, the SCAA was founded and, you know, led early on by the interest of the roasting community above others, it's really expanded from there. And you've seen these smaller groups break out into guilds that are kind of incubated within the association, but it's not the you know, Specialty Coffee Association of Roasters or something like that. It really is more expansive in who is involved, whose voice is represented, and increasingly so as we, you know, as we unify the United States and Europe and then look to the parts of the world and the areas of the value chain that we've historically not represented nearly as well. Although even those things, without our specifically holding events in coffee producing countries, you know, more and more coffee producers and producing country representatives attend our events and participate in our board of directors and our volunteer structure. So it's sort of happening already. It just is something that we'd like to accelerate. So we have that geography and the role pieces are different. And then also there's that component of specialty, you know, of quality, of the way that coffee tastes and what it's possible for coffee to do in terms of being good or being better than just the average coffee, than just regular old coffee. So it's hard to define specialty, which is a word that not a lot of consumers use, in relation to commercial, which is another word that not a lot of consumers right, use to right. talk about coffee. So that's what brings us back to, or brings me at least, back to words like good, you know, this idea of coffee that tastes good, coffee that that is good or is better and represents that promise and potential.
It seems to me as well, Kim, that there's a sort of, I mean, obviously a culture of specialty coffee. There's this, you know, you see it on Instagram and you see it in a lot of these new shops opening and cafes. There's a culture of specialty coffee, whether or not that was intended. There's sort of this younger generation, maybe that's fair to say, of people who are really invested in what's going on in coffee. And mm-hmm. that seems to also be an angle that you at the SCA have to your advantage when talking about things like sustainability. Is there's all these people who are listening and people who are passionate, you know? And so I think it's valuable that y'all are doing this. Avance, did I say that right?
You did, yes. Yeah.
Perfect. And so let's go into that just a little bit here, or a lot of it. So Avance, what is it and how is it born?
So Avance is a two-day conference on sustainability organized by the SCA. And it'll take place in Guatemala City, Guatemala, in October, the 11th and 12th of October at the offices of ANACAFE, which is the National Coffee Association of Guatemala. And it was born really out of, like so many things at SCA, it was born out of the ideas of volunteers who for years within the sustainability volunteer community have been discussing the, you know, the need or this audience, these stakeholders that we haven't been engaging proactively. You know, we've been talking increasingly about the role of the farmer and the, you know, the challenges and opportunities and what is our responsibility. But so many of those conversations have not included not just farmers, but producing country representatives. And part of that is just a function of, again, historically, the geography of the SCA and the locations for our events and who is able to participate in those. So, you know, one idea that was broached years ago was to have the SCA host some sort of producer summit that was exclusively for producers and producer interests. And then another idea that that kind of came up in a similar way, it was like sort of a different idea, but that arose around the same time, was for the sustainability community, the sustainability volunteers who were talking about issues like climate change and some of the threats facing coffee production and the sustainability of the coffee value chain. We should have these conversations in the places that are experiencing these challenges most acutely. You know, there's going to be so much knowledge that we can't access sitting in a, you know, a room somewhere in, you know, at a conference hotel, brainstorming about this. We should bring this conversation to a place where it is the most relevant. And so it's, I think Avante was kind of a child of those two conversations or those two ideas, was to both bring the sustainability conversation to sort of producing country, and then also to have an event that was oriented toward and inclusive of producers and producing country representatives.
Got you. So this has kind of been in the works for a while then. It's just recently been announced. Is that?
Yeah, it has been. It's been in the works, you know, and like as an idea, it's been in the works for years. It can take a while for an idea to kind of to find its time and to find its audience and to get to get traction. But it
was there anything that catalyzed its birth? Do you feel like the forum, the World Coffee Producers Forum, had an effect on that, or was it really already on its way?
I would say that it that the producer forum is interesting because it's, I think it catalyzes or changes the conversation maybe that we're able to have there, or the rationale for needing to have another event that continues this conversation and incorporates a different, you know, geographic region and more buyers and sort of brings this to a different audience, so that it's not something where all of the outputs from the coffee producer forum, when it comes to like, you know, questions about the economic viability of farming, that is the producer's job to address that, you know, that they can lead the way, but we also, there are plenty of activities we can take between now and the next producer forum on individual levels and collective levels to address some of those sort of challenges put forth by the forum. So that was, I would say that it wasn't necessarily part of the design, but I'm glad that these are happening in succession, because I think it speaks to that desire to keep moving the conversation forward and not repeating the same ground all the time. And then I would, to the, what accelerated this, I think that the establishment of the Sustainability Center this year was that trigger to say, all right, like if we're going to, you know, if this is a big enough deal that we're going to have a center, sort of make it official, then we're at a point where we can support an event. You know, we can make sustainability not only for the select few with expertise, which is how we had treated it for some time. It was a committee, it was a council, but it was a group that was limited in its participation. And when you earlier spoke to the role of young people, that's something that gets me really excited, was how do we bring in the next generation of sustainability thought? And how do I make sure that those pathways into this conversation and into influence are really clear and obvious and accessible? Because I think that there are, you know, I look at myself when I was 22 and what I knew about sustainability versus what many 22-year-olds in the coffee, specialty coffee industry know now. And I'm just floored. You know, I think that I'm so glad that they weren't around when I was vying for the job that I was vying for, because I never would have gotten it. They're so much more qualified. You know, like if they, people have degrees in this now. I was Googling in 2006, what does a sustainability manager do? I think that idea of this sort of generational transition, both on the farm side and then also on the more sort of roaster consumer side, is really, you know, exciting.
I mean, I think it's exciting as well. I'm actually going to use the producers forum as a springboard for the next question, because there were those breakout groups at the forum, and you took part. I can't remember which one was it. The which one did you take part in, the breakout?
I was in the youth and workers.
Got it. So yeah, that breakout session where you were sitting with probably a few producers, maybe some other people from the industry, and talking about, you know, what are the problems and what are the solutions, right? That was kind of the idea behind that breakout group. So there are kind of these topics, right? all over sustainability. So that's one. You have productivity, profitability, all these things. I want to ask you at Avance, what are going to be the topics? And do you think any topics are maybe the most important thing to talk about? Is there anything at the top of the conversation you think just needs to be addressed the most? Or what do you think about this?
Yeah, so the three topics that we'll be addressing at Avance are climate change, farm profitability, and farm workers. And these were chosen, in terms of the priorities or the hierarchy, like, you know, we have the UN Sustainable Development Goals, and that is a good representation to me of the fact that there are 17 goals on there, and each of them contains a world of its own, you know, and there's no one of them that is, I think, depending on who you are, and you could make an argument that one or two are more important than the others, but really it seems like you could use any one of those as a lens or an access point to the others because they're all interconnected. And so we've chosen these three because these are issues that the sustainability volunteer community of the SCA, the Heritage Sustainability Council of the SCAA in particular, have been working on for the past two and a half years or so. They were chosen through a process of selecting the areas where we felt like, as a group, we could be the most influential and where we saw the most need and opportunity to advance the conversation that was happening in our industry. So we picked three, knowing that there was no way that we could pick everything. We would have to make some decisions. And so Those were the three. And so for the past, you know, two or so years, we've been trying to publish resources and deliver presentations and write articles and focus some attention on these subjects through lectures and at, you know, RICO, World of Coffee, any opportunity that we have to focus. You know, these are the three areas. So these are the three areas that we'll be exploring at Avance also.
So education is obviously a huge part of the reason the forum is put together. People need to know certain things about what's going on and how to think about sustainability. There's a lot of confusion, no doubt. And so how to think and what should we be talking about and those sorts of things. The specialty coffee culture that I was talking about earlier, you know, it sort of functions on, well, it's hard to define it, I suppose. People are kind of talking about all sorts of things, I feel like, on social media and in their own conferences and things like that. Where do you think the specialty coffee culture is the weakest in knowledge? What do you think they need to know the most about? What kind of topics under the umbrella of sustainability are the most important to strengthen in this culture?
That's another good question, and it's hard to single out a particular group for needing more. I'm going to be more general than education and just say like more information, more access to information, because I think that part of the challenge that we have is the sort of collective action that should arise, the individual and collective action that should arise out of the information. So you know, whereas roasters may say, I need more information about some of these issues, like, you know, climate change and what to do about it. There's the information piece, but, you know, there's a lot of information out there about how climate change is affecting coffee and ways to reduce energy consumption at your cafe. You know, like, it's not that the information doesn't exist. It's either not in the format in which it's practical for you to consume it, or we're missing a piece about the relevance or about how your individual action contributes to a, you know, the sort of collective action of the coffee industry. And that's where I feel like the, you know, probably just on balance as far as access to technology and information, the producer has less of that. But sometimes I think that it's that, you know, we have information in the sort of a consuming country that a producer wants and doesn't necessarily find easy to access. And a producer has information that a roaster might wonder about, like, how do you adapt to climate change? You know, like, what is most effective for you on a farm? How does a farmer make that decision? That isn't easy for that person to access and know how to act on.
Yeah. I mean,
so I think there's a give and take there as to, like, you know, I feel like the easy answer would be producers need more information, but sometimes I think that it's that we need more information about how to act in ways that are mutually beneficial or sort of supporting the common goals.
Got you. Yeah. The common goals thing I think is extremely important to consider. There's obviously priorities, kind of like you said before, anybody could turn this conversation into, hey, this is the most important thing because I'm a roaster, you know, mm-hmm. or, you know, producer and what have you. So I think you're extremely on point there with the idea that it needs to be these mutual goals. And I think as well, the UN goals, the 17 goals, are a really nice place to start to consider the entire problem. It's, you know, sort of a framework, even as we heard from the economist at the forum. So I had another question, but because my brain isn't working properly, I'm going to have to forget it. So let's see here. Okay. Where can our listeners hear more about Avante? Where can they find more information, sign up, that sort of thing?
All right. So Avante is at www.avante, which actually you didn't ask me about what it means, but it's Spanish for to advance, to move forward. Like, we're pushing the conversation forward. Sustainability is about the future and about, you know, changing and evolving for the future. So it's www.avance.coffee. If you haven't seen that that suffix for a website before, then you haven't been to the SCA's website, because we're SCA.coffee.
Right.
It's confusing for people at times. I get emails, a lot of emails bouncing around to different addresses, but avance.coffee is where you can find, you know, the program for the event, which is being updated regularly as we get commitments from speakers, has the registration link on there, and can find out all sorts of things about, you know, about what's going on at the event.
Excellent. And if people aren't able to make it out for whatever reason, they can't travel, is there going to be any way for them to access the information shared at this conference, or what does that look like?
Yes. You know, I think that one of the things that is critical to me to think about in having Avante be a part of this conversation that doesn't just exist at the event, but rather builds on what has been said before, and then also, you know, carries on into what happens at other events in Central America, you know, maybe like Center Cafe happens in November, but also to other SCA events like Expo and World of Coffee in 2018, is being clear on how the work that happens, especially on the second day where we're doing workshops with the participants, how that translates and informs the SCA's strategy for sustainability. What are the lessons, or what are the takeaways that will not only be taken away by participants to use in whatever their arena is, say if you're a producer, then what are the actions that you take back to your farm, but also on the opposite side, what are the takeaways for the SCA that then become part of how we organize our lectures, or what and who speaks at RICO in Seattle, and gotcha. You know, sort of on into the future. So that like, the worst thing to me about a conference is going and feeling like, this is cool, like I saw these people, this was exciting, it was fun, and then okay, I guess we're done and back to regular life now, and maybe right. I should write a report on it for my colleagues, but I don't know, like, maybe not. I'm not really sure what I'm supposed to do with this information. It can feel very isolating and feel like you had this experience and then it's difficult to share. And I want Avante to feel like it is, you know, it's an opportunity to have influence, but then that you sort of see that carrying on.
Yeah, the carrying on of the information, and not, you're right, you can leave a conference feeling like that was a lot of information and sort of what do I do with it? But the idea that it's not its own isolated event, but that it's contributing as a piece to the ongoing conversation is what it sounds like.
Yeah.
Well, excellent. Thank you, Kim, for coming on the show and for sharing your perspectives on Avante and sustainability. And we're looking forward to the event here in I think, just a few months.
Thank you so much for having me on. I am always glad to talk about sustainability, especially with you.
Thank you. And I'll talk to you soon. So thanks to Kim for joining us on the show to talk about Avante. You can find more information about Avante in the show bio notes. You can always hit up the SCA website. And feel free to hit us up on Instagram. The Coffee Podcast is produced by me, Jesse Hartman, and my co-host, Weston Peterson. Music is by Michael Parallax. You can find Michael's music at michaelparallax.com. Thanks for tuning in. And as always, and until next time, happy brewing.